May we hide it in our hearts that we may not sin against you. Amen. Awesome. It's one of those days where you just kind of open your Bible and it falls right to the place and the Lord just begins speaking to you. That makes it easy, doesn't it? Well, you know, first place it fell open to today was the end of Job. I'll read it to you, familiar verses to us. Have this word in here, I'd written down, posturing for increase. And then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. But hear now, and I will speak. I will ask you, and you now instruct me. Because I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. And we know that that's the eyes of the Spirit. Therefore I retract, and I repent in dust and ashes. And then it went on, the Lord God just speaks to him. You know, we know the story. Restores to him. Corrects his friends because they were speaking of things which they didn't know, you know, which weren't true about God. And, you know, and the Lord never really gave an explanation of why he did what he did. But he did give Job a revelation of him, right? And I was listening to a song, a guy singing that, he just kept singing this over and over, that your leadership is perfect in our lives. And he leads with perfect faithfulness, okay? So, you know, there's some things that Job thought he had knowledge of the Lord about, but he really didn't, you know. And the whole thing was about this encounter with the Lord and God bringing him to a place of where now the eyes of his heart kind of was open so he could really see who God is. Meaning that that's where the eyes of our heart is where we get real revelation, not the eyes, not our minds, right? Not gaining more knowledge, okay? Because these other guys had knowledge. Job even had knowledge, you know? And it was wrong knowledge. It just wasn't who God is. And I was just thinking about that, Lord. You know, I've spoken many times of things I didn't know about, you know, which weren't just true, which were not true about you. And following the Lord, he's leads you into everything he does. He leads you, you know, and I know the, you know, we just can't make it up as we go, but the real word of faith movement said that Job could have prevented all of this, but just what he feared came upon him, right? No. I'm not going to buy that one, right? That was a waste of 42 chapters if that was true, you know. And that Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when he said, in my weakness, his strength is made perfect, and that thing, he entreated the Lord three times that it might depart. Well, the word of faith movement says he just didn't know who he was in Christ. He had the authority to make it go. Okay, that's trying to make God fit into your experience, and it never works that way, right? He is who he is. I had this vision while I was at One Thing Conference, and I had two pictures the Lord showed me. One was like this river, I mean like a you know, like a torrent, a river, and it was really, the water was dark and muddy, you know. And I saw myself kind of in this river, and I'm thinking, why is this river so dark and muddy? You know, it seems like, you know, in my mind I would want the, like, really nice water, like, you know, these pretty water rapids and stuff. But this was just like a, you know, almost scary looking. And then I saw, and I'm praying, I saw this room that was just draped in black. And then I saw in the middle of it a heart, and then the heart had kind of streamers coming down from it. And I knew that that was the Lord's heart, you know. But I'm thinking, why? I'm not really understanding about all this. Why this is black canopy? Because when we think of God, we want to think of, you know, bright colors and rainbows and little, you know, little unicorns and stuff, right? And, but I knew he had something to say to me. I'm like, Lord, I don't understand what you're saying. And then I just saw written in my mind, you know, Psalm 18, even saw the verses. And I thought, okay, I don't know what he's fixing to say. But then I'll start a little bit before. And this is, you know, a prayer of God's deliverance for David. And of lack of time, I'm just going to start in verse 7. The earth shook and quaked. The foundations of the mountains were trembling and were shaken because he was angry. He was coming down to for vengeance on the enemy. Smoke went out of his nostrils, and fire from his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also, and he came down with thick darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and flew. He spat upon the wings of the wind. And listen to this. He made darkness his hiding place, his canopy around him. Okay, just what I had seen. Darkness of waters, thick clouds of the skies. And it goes on, from the brightness before him, he passed these thick clouds, hailstones, and coals of fire. The Lord thundered in the heavens, the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones, coals of fire. He sent down arrows and scattered them, talking about the enemy, right? Then the channels of the water appeared, and the foundations of the world were laid bare. And at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. And he said, he sent from on high, and he took me, and he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty. And they confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth into a broad place, and he rescued me because he delighted in me. And the Lord rescued David from a place that he led him. You follow me? In the midst of the thick darkness and the canopy and the waters, God's presence is there, right? And then when whatever he wanted was accomplished, he routed the enemy in a real mighty way, right? Came down, and we just read it. I mean, this is a real powerful of hailstones, thunder, arrows, all this kind of, you know. Okay, because we know that the enemy dwells in darkness as well, right? That's God's domain. I mean, it's his place, right? So as we, now I'll read one more verse to you, then we'll just kind of sum it all up here. This is another place I kind of fell to. My Bible just kind of opened up. In Hebrews 12, you have not resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you're reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? And if you're without, now as I go on with this discipline, that word just means to become a follower. It's the word disciple, okay? We think of, you know, going to the woodshed, or like when I was little, I had to go pick your own switch, you know, pick your own death weapon. But he's talking about, because God loves us and we're his sons, he disciples us, okay, scourges us. And scourging, scriptures talks about this, the scourging purifies us, or gets us, frees us, liberates us from what sin can do to us. It says, but if you are without discipline, of which you have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? They discipline us just for a short time, as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us. He does it. God does it for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment does not seem to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet those who have been trained by it, afterwards it'll yield the peaceful fruit of righteousness, his righteousness. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. Make straight paths for your feet. It goes on, so that the limb which is not lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. And pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Now, if you go back and read, of course, we don't have time to read the whole book of Hebrews. But a lot of these guys were bailing, okay? These Hebrews in the church, these Jewish believers, were bailing because of the persecution they were enduring or encountering, the hard times that they were facing, right? Because it's almost like, hey, we didn't sign up for this. You know, this is not kind of what we signed up for. And, you know, then the Lord brings out his big magnifying glass and said, oh, but you did. Read this clause here. It's so encouraging here when you read that, because there's, and with Job too, and with everything about God, because everything is to, for our good, to give us a real revelation of who he is. To, as that part, we don't like to hear that word, but scourges us as sons, you know. Stripes that scourge, you know, in Proverbs says, remove evil, you know. It just does all this good. It just removes in us things that are just harmful in our walk and in our even in our view with God. And we get, you know, there's a big controversy now of, I've even heard a guy who's just, I mean, really good teacher, and I like him, you know, he'll, you know, he won't even talk about Job. You talk about Job, he'll be like, well, look at Jesus. And I thought, that's just not a good answer. You know, we can't run from that just because it makes me uncomfortable. You know, I remember speaking at Blue Jean one time, and Bob and I laugh about this, but I spoke about Job, and his thinking was, oh my God, where is he going with this? You know, because those kind of things just make, you know, you think, oh my God, you're going to make somebody uncomfortable in here, or you know, those things about the Lord, some places he may lead us, right? But the Lord always looks at the end result. You know, he understands, of course, that we're eternal. He always looks at the end. Okay? And Job would sit there and tell us, he'll tell us to our face one day when we get to see him, how worth it. How much, you know, it was just worth it, y'all. It was just worth it. Because there was nothing really wrong with Job. Scripture says he was the most, he was righteous man, most righteous man on the earth. But he wanted more. He wanted more of the Lord. And he said, Lord, things I just thought I knew about you, I really didn't know, but I have a heart revelation of you now, okay? And there's places like that in Psalm 18 where he'll lead us, where he led David, delivered David, brought him out to a broad place, right, which he'll always do. But there he encountered things about God that there's no way to learn it. You can't read a book about it, okay? You got to experience it. You got to go through it, all right? It's good. I mean, I like reading about people. I like reading the men of faith, you know, guys that really endured a lot of stuff, you know, godly men, and all of their stories are the same. But I can't know about God just by reading about them. You follow me? Not there's anything wrong with that. Everything that I know about God comes through revelation, through encounter, okay? And you may be there now, but I can guarantee you, if you continue walking with the Lord and you want everything, you're going to be led in some very uncomfortable places. And he's leading you there. Because he loves you. And he treats you as sons and daughters. Right? He wants to fill our cup. But you know what? You can only fill an empty cup. Right? And there's places in my life where I want a full cup, but guess what? My cup has a lot. My cup has to be emptied. And then Hebrews there, you know, where that we can share his holiness and share his righteousness, his holiness, right? And mine are dumped out, okay? So I want to encourage you. That's not a discouraging word, just an encouraging thing that God is faithful. His leadership is faithful. No matter where he's leading you, follow. Don't bail. Don't jump, okay? Everything in you sometimes are going to want to jump ship, you know? The waters are getting rapid. All right, we want a smooth pond and little ducks, and you know, we don't want a torrent river with crocodiles in it, right? But that's just where he dwells sometimes, and where he leads us, right? But good, be encouraged. You'll come out sharing his holiness, amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, let's.